All right, go with me back to Psalm 5. Psalm 5. You know, the Lord asked Peter a very simple question. He said, "Do you love me?" I think that's a wonderful question. Do you love me? Peter said, and he was so sorrowful when he said it, he said, "Yea, Lord." He said, "You know all things. You know I love you." And the Lord said to him, "Then feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep." That's what I want you to do. The Lord told Jeremiah that he would send pastors according to his own heart who would feed his people with knowledge and understanding. I take that very seriously. The Lord used the word pastors 8 times in the scriptures. 6 of them he said, "Woe unto the pastors." You know that? They weren't feeding the sheep, feeding themselves. So I take this very seriously. And I pray each time that we meet together, God might send us a message that feeds us, me included. We are not here. You all didn't drive here. Some of you walked. Some of you drove quite a distance. But we did not all meet here for us to have a doctrinally correct message. Although I want a doctrinally correct message. I don't want to preach doctrinal lies. Not at all. But we need something that is a true help in our time of need. That's what we need. Something that's a real help to us. Something that will benefit us. Something that will make us grow. We need something for today. We need to be fed today. You know, we were just here Sunday. And we're here today because we need to be fed today. That's why we're back again. The subject hasn't changed. Christ and Him crucified. The outline hasn't changed. Man's a sinner. Christ in mercy redeemed man, and they're not going to be lost. But we need to be fed today. Yesterday's food was wonderful. It was wonderful. But we need today's. We need to be nourished. We need to be strengthened. Strength for today. That's what we just sang. We need something that will truly cause us to grow. I want to grow. I want to grow. I mean, we're very deliberate in what we feed our children. We want them to grow. And we need something that'll be savory to us. We need Christ. That's what we need. We need to be filled with Christ, and we need to be filled with His Word. And our prayer is, Lord, feed us. Feed us. We don't need the idea of being fed. And we don't need the theory of being fed. And we don't need the doctrine of being fed. Lord, feed us. Please feed us. Help us and nourish us and give us something that 'll cause us to grow. That's my prayer. Now, last Wednesday night, we looked at something that I believe was very comforting. It was very comforting to me. It was something that is a very wise thing to consider. And it was something that was instructive. We looked at wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Something that will help us in our time of need. You know, when you have a true moment of need, that's something that'll help you. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. That's something that we can actively do wait on the Lord. With all of our strength and with all of our might, we can stand still and wait to see the salvation of the Lord. That's what we can do. What do I do? What do I do? Here's something you can do. Wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. And that's something that shouldn't go in one of my ears and go out the other one of my ears. What a daily help to us it would be if we actively pursued waiting on the Lord. I mean, if we gave it all we had, waiting on the Lord. Tonight I have something that goes along with that. This is something that would bring so much comfort to us. And I want to preach to myself first, and everybody else can listen in on it. This is something that would truly bring so much comfort to us. This is something that is very wise. And the reason is because we're about to read it in God's Word, not because I said it. We're about to read this in God's Word, and this is very instructive. Something has really struck me here in Psalm chapter 5, and I want to encourage all of us to do it. That's my mark tonight. I want to encourage us unto works. I want to encourage us to do something. Now, on the issue of salvation, the law says, do this and live. That's what the law says. Do this and you'll live. And that's wrong. That's wrong. We know that that's wrong. No flesh can be justified by the deeds of the law. Isn't that right? No flesh. Doing this in order to live, that's wrong. But do you know what the gospel of God's grace says? You know what the gospel of God's free grace says? It says, live and do this. That's what it says. God comes to a sinner, and God, in His own power and His own mercy, He comes to a dead, blind, deaf sinner, and He says, live. And they live. And they see what He's done for them. And they realize, you've been adopted into my family. And it's ordered and it's sure. And now that you are my child, this is what I expect out of you. Live and do this. All right? So we're not trying to justify ourselves before God. That's the point I'm trying to make. I have something I'd love for us to do. But we're not trying to justify ourselves before God, because we have been justified before God. We're trying to draw nearer to Him. That's what we're trying to do. I want to draw nearer to Him. And here's something that I know will help us do just that. Psalm 5, verse 1 says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. I want to encourage us to meditate on the Lord. That's what I want to encourage us to do. I want to encourage us to meditate on the Lord. I know that sounds like a strange word. It sounds like a yoga spiritual guy sitting there with his legs crossed. He's got his thumbs on his middle fingers, palms up, eyes closed, clear. He's supposed to be clear in his mind. That is not what God's Word says meditating is. Turn with me, if you would, over to Joshua chapter 1, just after Deuteronomy. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's a great verse. That is a great, he's saying, you obey God's word and it'll go well with you. That's what he's saying. Look with me at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell us, that's Christ. That's Jesus Christ. But the truth of the matter is blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. That meditation that God is talking about is in his law, in his word. Go with me over to Psalm 77. Psalm 77, verse 12 says, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah means just dwell on that. Just dwell on that. I'll meditate on all of your work, everything you've done. Who is so great a God as our God? You've redeemed us. You redeemed Jacob. He's saying, I'll dwell on that for a while. One more. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy 4, verse 13 says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, that means calling on. That's prayer. To doctrine, that word means teaching, preaching, reading, prayer, and hearing the gospel. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. True meditation is clearing your mind of everything but Christ. Everything but the Lord Jesus Christ. Thinking on and dwelling on Christ. It's reading his word. It's hearing him preached. And it's prayer. It's talking to him in prayer. And David said in our text back in Psalm 5, he said in verse 1, give ear to my words. That's what he said. Give ear to my words. Now, if we're in a place where nobody can hear us, I recommend we use words. I recommend we speak out loud. If we're in a place where nobody can hear us, hearing our own words can help our focus. You ever lose focus when you're praying? You ever do that, like me? Hearing our own words can help us focus. Hearing our own words can be, sometimes it can be a deterrent to distractions. If we're in a place where we can't pray with words, not without drawing attention to ourselves, no words are necessary. We speak to Him with the words of this heart. And he says, David says right here, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation." Consider my meditation. Lord, would you consider my frame? Would you consider my frame when I'm speaking to you, when I'm talking to you? Would you remember, Lord, that I'm dust? That's what he's saying. If I ask something wrong, would you make it right? Have you ever asked something wrong in prayer to him? Like I do. Oh, Lord, if I say something wrong, would you make it right? Would you consider my meditation? If I leave something out, I mean, man, how do we leave everything out? How could we adequately pray to him? If I leave it out, would you fill it in? I'm so thankful that he knows what things we need of before we ever ask. I'm so glad that the Spirit groans unto him on our behalf with utterings that cannot be uttered, not by us. But Lord, would you consider my meditation? Verse 2, he says, "Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray." We know that we're going before the King, don't we? We call on him, and we, as much as he will enable us to, we take worship seriously, don't we? We're going before the King. And we know that we are subjects to him because this King is God. We know that the King is the God, the all-powerful, all-controlling, all-doing God. If it's done, God did it. Whether we see it to be good, whether we see it to be bad, God did it. All, nothing happens without his command or without his permission. Nothing happens. But if we want some comfort, there is some real comfort. Meditate on this. Dwell on this for just a minute. Shut everything else out but this. There's one little word in that verse that's repeated three times. My. My. Verse 2 says, "Hearken unto the voice of my cry." You know, the whole land is mourning. The whole earth is in distress. They all of the world suffers under the weight of sin, whether they know it or not. People are miserable, people are hurting, people are sick, people are dying, and this whole world is groaning under the weight of sin. And even though he's going to turn a deaf ear to almost an entire world, he said, "I'm destroying this world and a remnant's going to be saved." Isn't that what he said? But even though he's going to turn a deaf ear to almost an entire world, he said, "I'm going to hear your cry. I'll hear yours. Even though I'm not worthy, even though I have no idea why you would choose to hear mine, would you hear mine? Would you hear mine? I'm going to hear your cry. In Christ, I'm going to hear your cry." Meditate on this. The actual King. There's a throne in a place called glory. The reason it's glory is because the King is there. And the King that is sitting on that throne is my King. So many people are going to walk up to that throne and say, "Dear King," or should I say, "Lord, Lord," we've done all these wonderful things in your name. We've prophesied in your name. I pastored that church over there. And he's going to say, I'm not your king. Depart from me, I never knew you. But in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the king is my king. He's your king. And the actual God of all of heaven and all of earth and all of time and all of eternity is my God. He said, I'll be your God. I will be your God. My king and my God. And David said at the end of verse 2, unto thee will I pray. I'm praying to you and you alone. You alone. Now verse 3, this is what struck me. All right, now we actually get to the point. Verse 3 says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. I want to encourage us, and I'm being serious. I want to encourage us. I want starting with myself, deeply, strongly encourage us to meditate on the Lord first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning. He said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. I will not speak to you in the morning. That's what he's saying. I will not ignore you in the morning. Charles Spurgeon has a commentary on many books of the Bible, and the one that he has for the Psalms is called The Treasury of David. Great book. It's a great book. And this is what he said for this verse. He said, an hour in the morning is worth two in the evening. And that is so true. That is so true. When you wake up and your mind is fresh, your mind is empty. You have not had 73 horrible things happen to you yet today. You didn't have the argument over the person who, you know, didn't get the order right at the McDonald's or something. And it's fresh, and it's so true. But he said, an hour in the morning is worth two in the evening. While the dew is on the grass, let grace drop upon the soul. Let us give to God the mornings of our days and the morning of our lives. And what he means by that is our first fruits. That's what he means. Let us acknowledge him first. Let's give what we have to him first. Now, I know that we all have crazy lives. I know that. I mean, Spurgeon said an hour in the morning. I understand. We all have crazy lives. The alarm goes off. It's set for way earlier than we want it to be set for. But that alarm goes off. We're either trying to get kids up or we're trying to get ourselves up. You drink a cup of coffee. You get a shower. You get dressed. You run out the door. You're trying to hurry to get to school. You're trying to hurry to get to work. And then you get there and you set your brain for the day. And that's the morning. That's our morning. Could we imagine, though, getting up, running through every bit of that, running out the door, and never saying hello, never saying good morning, never saying I love you to our spouse or our children if they're awake, and he's always awake. He never slumbers. Never. What would it say for our communication and our union as a family if everybody got up, everybody ran out the door, everybody went their separate ways, and never said one word to each other? Never said one word to each other. What would it say, though, for our communication and our union as a family if, while I'm sitting there trying to get down my first cup of coffee, my girls crawl up in my lap? Good morning, Daddy. Morning, baby. How'd you sleep? good. I don't want to leave the house. I really don't, without hugging my family. I don't want to leave the house without giving Hannah a hug, a kiss. Both of us tell each other, I hope you have a good day. That's about all we have time for. I hope you have a good day. Love you. We would receive so much comfort if we would do the same thing with our Lord. I promise. I promise. I know we don't have much time, but David didn't say we needed much time. It does not take much time to say good morning. It just doesn't take much time at all. Go with me over to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. I just cannot stress enough what I believe it would do for our hearts and our day if we would begin with this communication to our Lord. Verse 9, Matthew 6, verse 9. This is what our Lord said. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy and reverend is your name. Lord, I begin this day by bowing to you. That's how I start this day. I bow to you. Lord, you're God, and I bow to you. I bow to you today. I bowed to you yesterday. I bow to you today. You're my God. I love it. I want it. I'm your servant. I'm low, you're high, and I love that. And I bow to you today, this morning, just like yesterday. Verse 10, he said, thy kingdom come. Lord, would you lead me through this day with the remembrance that your kingdom is coming? Meditate on that for just a minute. Lord, would you lead me through the whole day, everything that comes today, with the remembrance that your kingdom is coming. Nothing on this earth is going to last. Nothing. And as I start to sink my hooks into the things of this world, around 4 o'clock, I start sinking in to the things of this world. Would you remind me that at any moment the trump shall resound? You will descend. And you're going to gather all your people to yourself, and this whole thing's going to be over. The whole thing's just going to be over. Would you remind me of that today? Today. Verse 10 says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I pray thy will be done in everything today. I'm about to walk out of my front door. I'm about to get in my car. If you'd have me to get to work, Lord, thy will be done. I pray thy will be done in everything. And would you remind me that just like it is in heaven, your will is going to be done in everything today. Would you remind me of that? All through those 73 things that just ruined my day, would you remind me it is the Lord? It is the Lord. Verse 11, he said, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, would you feed me spiritually today? Lord, feed my belly. Feed the belly of my family. But don't just feed our belly. Would you feed my soul? Would you feed my soul today? I know this is Thursday. I know this is not a standard worship day. But I still have Friday and Saturday to go before I get back to Sunday. So would you please give me some heavenly bread? Would you make something well up in here? A well of living water? Would you put a song in here? You ever just have one of our hymns pop into your mind? You think, oh, I love that hymn. Lord, would you cause your word, would you bring your word to my mind? Would you bless my heart today? This is Thursday. Do this for me on a Thursday, just like on a Wednesday. Verse 12 says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, I know that a lot of attacks are going to come today. I know that. I know that I can expect trials. I can expect persecutions. You said they would come. I know that I'm going to be wronged. I know that I'm going to be offended. But would you give me a heart to forgive those that do that to me, just like you forgave me for doing that to you? Lord, would you remind me that there is nothing that anybody could do, nothing that anybody could do to me that could possibly come close to what I did to you on that cross? Would you remind me of that? The next time somebody lashes out at me, would you remind me that doesn't come close to what I did to him on that cross? That doesn't come close. But you forgave me. You forgave me. Would you give me a heart now to forgive others today? Would you make me a forgiver today? Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Verse 13. But would you lead me not into temptation? Would you deliver me from evil? Lord, would you deliver me from not only the evil one, but the evil that's right inside here, the evil that will ruin this day for me. I ruin my own day. Deliver me from that. Please deliver me. And would you do this for the reason of you're my God and you're my King? Verse 13 goes on to say, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What a way to start the day. What a way to start the day. What an outlook to have on God's day. Every day is God's day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Go with me back to Psalm 5. Psalm 5, verse 1 says, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. That word direct, he said, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. That word means to lay in order. To lay in order. It's the same word that was used in laying the wood in order on the altar of sacrifice. Same word. They used to take those animals. They killed those animals and they offered them to God as a sacrifice. And when they killed them, they cut them into pieces. And they laid those pieces in order on top of that wood. It's the same word. It's the same word that the priest took the showbread and he laid that showbread out every morning. In order. He directed it every morning. And David says, I will every morning lay my prayer in order on the altar of God's sacrifice to you. I will not approach you. I will not send words to you. I will not even meditate on you outside of that sacrifice. I just won't do it. The sacrifice of Christ. You know, we close our prayers. We pray to the Lord. And we close our prayers with, in Jesus' name. Or for Christ's sake. And that's what we're doing in our prayer. We are laying our prayer on His sacrifice. We're laying it in order. This is coming because of what Christ did. I understand. The only reason you'll hear me is because of what Christ did. Without that, my prayer doesn't leave the ceiling. You won't hear me. You won't be my king. You won't be my God. So I'm laying this in order, on purpose, right on top of that sacrifice. That's how it's coming to you. Now watch how this ends. Verse 3 says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and then I'll look up. I'll look up. Lord, I'll believe your promise. You said that if I ask for your help," I need some help. I need help. "You said if I ask for your help and if I ask for your presence, I need you. You said that if I ask for your will, what would you have me to do? I'll wait. You said if I asked for some comfort, you said I'd receive it. So I'll look up. I'll just look up. If I receive a blessing, it's only going to come from you. So I'll look up. I'll wait. I'll sit and wait for it." And I'll tell you this, if we would begin our day this way, our day would look up. It really would. Our day, everything would start looking up, no matter how bad it is. I didn't say the day would get better. I said if we'd be looking up, everything would start looking up. And that makes it better. It really does. No matter how bad it is, it would still be looking up. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." By God's grace, by His help, I'll do it first thing in the morning. Lord, remind me. Remind us. May the Lord remind us to say, "Good morning. Would you help me?" All right, let's stand together.